Bring greetings again in the worthy name of Jesus. Blessing to be here, working together of a church. I've also just chosen one word for a message title this morning, and it has to do with things that are new, but that's not the word. The word I've chosen is change. A lot of times when things are new, it also brings about change. The dictionary says definition of change is to make or become different. We think about New Year's, a new year, change. Things happen, things progress. We, all of us here today that weren't born in 2016, like the couple of babies here, are now 1 year older. And even the babies that were born last year, I should say, are older than they were. Things have changed. People get older. We mature. Young people change, mature. As older people, as we get older, we lose strength. Hair turns gray. Some of it comes out. Things progress. Babies are born, people die, and it's not just old people either. Things happen that bring about change. And as we look at our world today, we see Bible prophecy being fulfilled. As the Bible says, evil men are going to wax worse and worse. We see that being fulfilled. Change is coming about. We see a generation of selfishness, lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, as the scripture says. But yet in the midst of all that, of the evil, we see people that God is working through, in and through. We see that good prevails, that good carries on. And we know that God is faithful, and we know that good is ever so much greater and ever so much stronger than evil, because God is good, and He is our strength in the midst of change. You know, God always has, just like He had in the Old Testament when Elijah thought he was the only one left, God said, I have, I forget now, 4,000, 7,000 people who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Seems like God always has those people who choose Him, who in this new dispensation walk in the Spirit of Christ within, and who have not bowed their knee to Baal, to the idols of this world and this age that we live in, who are not succumbing to the change of evil that is out there, but are faithful in abiding in Jesus Christ. Always those people who abide in Christ, who walk in the new man, you know, in spite of carnality, in spite of the old man, in spite of having to die to self, who still continue strong, steadfast, and faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at this new year, if the Lord tarries and life goes on as usual, you know, chances are this new year will probably be much like the last 10 or 20 have been. You know, there will be different things that will happen. There will be changes. But life goes on. There may be some of us who at the end of this year won't be here anymore. But for those of us who are still here, that will be a part of the change of the year 2017. As we have experienced in years gone by, loved ones have gone on to their reward. We have remained behind, those of us who are here. We have experienced the change of the absence of loved ones. Ones that we knew well. That is a part of the change. And, you know, would we really want it any different? You know, would we just want to be in a certain spot here in this life and things just wouldn't change? You know, sometimes we want new things, don't we? You know, and a lot of times when we look at a new year, we hear of people, and some of us probably do, and maybe should more than we do, make New Year's resolutions. You know, it's all about things that we see that we would like to see changed in our lives. And I believe the thing that really drives the New Year's resolutions is the thing that because we feel a need of change. We feel a need of something better, something more sometimes. You know, probably all of us have areas that we could improve in our lives as we examine ourselves, as we look at ourselves. Areas that we could change for the better, positive change, if we would choose to do so. And I believe that positive change is a universal need amongst the human race. We need change. We look at God. God says, "For I am the Lord, I change not," in Malachi 3. In Hebrews 13:8, it says, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." If all of us need to change, why doesn't God need to change? Why doesn't Jesus Christ need to change? What is the difference? We look at Scripture for an answer. Psalms 18:30, first part of the verse, it says, "As for God, his way is perfect." Matthew 5:48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Ephesians 4:13, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So, does perfect need to change? It doesn't, does it? Are we perfect? No. We are made perfect through justification, blameless before God through Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, as we come to him in faith, as we are born again. But we still have this fleshly body, this carnal nature that we have to deal with. As long as we're here, we're not perfect. We're still prone to sin. We're still having to deal with this old carnal nature, the old man. And as we think about the New Year's resolutions, why is it that there are so many New Year's resolutions that are not kept, that are broken, made, but then broken? According to statistics, approximately 92% are broken. Only 8% are kept. What happens to that willpower, to that self-discipline that brought about the resolution in the first place? You know, as the days go by, a few days, a few weeks, a month, or a couple of months, more and more are broken. The willpower fizzles out. The self-discipline goes away. And we go back into that same old rut. It's like the old rut is too hard to get out of. It just takes too much effort. God asks the question of the children of Israel in Jeremiah 2:36. He asks, "Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way?" To gad means to go around from one place to another in the pursuit of pleasure or entertainment. Now, in the Dutch, we might say, misinterstra rumhoatsa. I'm not sure if you've ever used that word or not, or have a definition for it, but in the English, I guess you could call it messing around, which means to be doing things, you know, wasting time doing things without a particular purpose. Not really having a particular purpose. but aimlessly going through life looking for pleasure, as it says, gaddest about. You know, with that kind of mentality, isn't it any wonder that there are so many New Year's resolutions that are broken? If there's no particular reason, purpose, or maybe a wrong purpose behind the resolution in the first place. And therefore, it's not lasting. You know, in order for change that we feel, and I didn't ask for a raise of hands, but I think if I did, probably all of you would agree that you feel a need of change. In order for that change that we would like to see, that we feel the need of, to happen and to last, to be a for real change, it's got to come from somewhere besides the externals. It's got to come from something within us that is greater than what we are, a power, a strength within us that is greater than the willpower that we have or the self-discipline that we can exercise. You know, and I commend people who exercise willpower and self-discipline. You know, don't just quit because sometimes you fail, but keep on. You know, exercise yourself in that. Strengthen yourself in that. But remember that none of us have the strength and the willpower and the self-discipline to overcome, especially when the change that we desire is a spiritual change. When the battle is a spiritual battle, the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it says they are mighty to God, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, I can't see within myself or within you, but when we face battles in life, a lot of times we are probably, if we could see in the spirit world, we are probably fighting against spiritual demons, if you will. Spirits of darkness that we are fighting against, and it's not just these externals that we see. And when we exercise ourselves in making right decisions in the carnal sense, the fleshly sense, it helps us to also make right decisions in the spiritual sense when we exercise ourselves in that. But first of all, we must have the new birth. We must have Jesus Christ. We must have the Holy Spirit in order to have that strength that we need that is greater than what we are. We cannot do it on our own. And I think we must look at the what and the why. In a previous message I had talked about, you know, identify what is it that you want to change and identify why is it that you want to change it. And when we get the what and the why correct, it makes a big difference in the effectiveness of the change that we want to see in our lives when we want to do it for the right reason. You know, for instance, you know, when we think about losing weight, getting in shape, you know, becoming fit, that is the what that we want to do. Why do we want to do it? That is the most important question in that scenario. Is a why because I want to be in shape, I want to be fit so that I am attractive, I am well looked upon? Or do I want to be in shape and I want to be fit so that I feel better, so that God can use me better, serving others through me? You know, that does something for us when we feel good physically and we feel good about ourselves. It helps us to actually get up, do things, and serve, which really is a purpose for every one of us here, isn't it? That we could burn out and live a life of servanthood. The life of Jesus Christ within, flowing out in servanthood to those around us. So when we get that why correct, it makes so much difference. A couple of illustrations. Back in the summer of 2015, I noticed some spots of Bermuda grass coming up in our backyard. And I don't particularly care for Bermuda grass because of how ugly it looks this time of the year. So I set about to try to get rid of that Bermuda grass. I identified the spots and I took my sprayer with Roundup and I sprayed those areas. Of course, everything turned brown. After a while, I would see a few green shoots of Bermuda grass trying to come back, and someone had told me if you spray it several times that you can kill Bermuda grass with Roundup. So whenever I would see the green coming back, I'd hit it again. I did that all summer long from, I don't know when I started, April or May maybe, all the way through September. Sometime in September, I decided it looked like it was pretty much dead. So I reseeded the whole area with fescue and sprinkled it real good, and I got a good stand of fescue coming. Well, if you would have looked in August of this year, I think almost every one of those spots of Bermuda grass was back, just about as big as ever. What happened? The answer is one word. It's rhizomes. The rhizomes of that Bermuda grass did not get killed. The Roundup was unable to get to the root of the problem. And that is, I believe, so many times why New Year's resolutions fail, is because the remedy that we have comes from us. It doesn't come from the power within, it comes from us, and we don't get the root of the problem. And you know, as long as we are in this flesh, the rhizome, the root of the old man, is going to exist. We're going to have that to contend with. But the more strength and the more power that we have from Jesus Christ, from God, from the Holy Spirit, the more effectively we can deal with the old man. We try that on our own, it doesn't work. So, you know, if we want to change bad habits, sins, and vices that we have in our lives, it's just like that Bermuda. Unless we get to the root of the problem, it's very ineffective. Another illustration, using our dog. I know that dogs have this instinct within them that, you know, if they have a bone, they'll dig a hole, put the bone in the hole, and they'll bury, they'll cover it. Well, our dog, for some reason, has this idea that we have his feed bowl in the barn, and there's straw on the floor of the barn there. Well, he likes to turn around and kick straw and dust and stuff into his feed bowl and cover up his dog food. I mean, you would think after doing that one time, he would have learned that that doesn't work so well, because, you know, who wants to eat gritty dog food? Or try to get the dog food out from amongst the pieces of straw? Well, the boys built a little wooden thing and put the bowl up a little bit. Well, he still does that. Every now and then he gets the urge and he spins around in there and he kicks that straw and dirt and stuff up into his feed bowl. How do you cure a problem like that? How do you bring about change so that the dog doesn't do that anymore? You have to change the nature of the dog, right? The dog is doing that because that's the nature of the dog, to bury his food. And, you know, our human nature is sinful by nature. So we are prone to sin because of this old man. And it is very, very ineffective, you know, for a person, a carnal person that is not born again, does not have the aid of the Holy Spirit, the power of God within, to overcome sin. Because the nature has not been changed. The nature is still the same. The Bible talks about becoming partakers of the divine nature. The Bible doesn't say that this old man is going to be eradicated. Paul talks about dying daily. That indicates to me that the old man is still there. And he's saying, I bring it into subjection. I bring my body under. I bring it into subjection. And I walk in the new man. And that is true. It's possible. When we fail, it's not because God is unable. It's not because the new man is unable. It's because we chose to go with the old nature. It wasn't change. We must be born again. And we must live and walk in the new man, in that divine nature. So when the carnal nature is our daily driver, if you will, we cannot expect that those carnal urges are going to be subdued and changed. It's just like the dog. Unless you can put a different nature in that dog, he's going to bury his food. The same way with us. When we have that carnal nature as our daily driver, we're going to sin. It's not a matter of if, but when. We're going to sin if that carnal nature is our daily driver. It's only by having the new nature, that divine nature, as our daily driver, that this old man can be subdued and can be brought under, and our lives can be changed into lives that bring glory to our Heavenly Father, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is able, but so many times we mess up because we get back and we put the carnal man into the driver's seat. That is why the New Year's resolutions get broken. And if the New Year's resolutions have the wrong why, the wrong purpose, the wrong reason, it's because they were brought about by the carnal man in the first place. Sometimes when we think about change, we would like to bring about change, and we go to great lengths to bring about change. This morning, my wife put on a new sweater, and the back of the sweater, there was a tag, and she wanted me to remove that tag for her, gave me a pair of scissors. So I got a hold of the tag with one hand and I started cutting that thing with the other hand with the scissors. And I wanted it as close to the sweater as possible. And you can probably guess what happened. Well, the tag came off, but now there was a hole in the sweater. You know, so many times when we go about to force change in our lives, we end up making a mess out of things because we go about it in a wrong way. We don't see the whole picture like God does. When we give up our lives, we quit trying to save our lives and give it all over to the Lord, you know, it helps, or it makes so that the change we want becomes or the change that we get becomes the change we really wanted in the first place. You know, we don't get something out and then we have something worse than what we had wanted. You know, the sweater would have been better off with a tag in place than it was with a hole in it. Well, she was able to take a needle and thread and sew the hole shut, and I don't know if you could even see it. And that is the way God works. When we mess up, when we make those holes in our lives, when we try to bring about the change that we think we want and we mess it up because of our carnality, and when we give that over to God, He is able to sew that back up and put that back together. That is God working in our lives. In marriage, now Jolene and Linford, in your relationship, you might think that the other one is perfect and that there's nothing that needs to be changed. But if the Lord tarries and you grow in your relationship and you marry, you're going to find out there are things in the other person that you wish were different. Now the question to us marrieds is, how do we go about to bring about the change we would like to see in our marriage partner? You know, so many times we go about it with the carnality of man, and we end up creating holes in our marriage, if you will, holes in our relationship, when we try to change the other person to be what we think they should be, instead of giving that relationship to the Lord and be the change that we need to be through the power and the aid of the Holy Spirit. When we become that change, so many times the change we thought we needed to see in the other person just kind of goes away, because we see the person differently. And because the other person sees the Holy Spirit working in us, it helps them to also, it inspires them to also live and move in the Holy Spirit. And it all works together for the glory of God. So we must get to the root of the problem. Do away with the carnality. 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3, says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." If you take this verse by itself, verse 3 here, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. If you take that verse by itself, you could get the idea that we can somehow purify ourselves. But when you look at the Bible as a whole, you see that's not what this verse is saying at all. How does a person become pure? How does a person, you know, and when you talk about purifying something, you're talking about bringing about a positive change. So many times we go about in our Christian lives with the carnal method to try to purify ourselves. We think that if I exercise discipline and I do these things, that I'm somehow going to become more righteous, more holy, more sanctified. Not true. Doesn't work that way. Let me just explain again, like I've done several times already, justification versus sanctification. Justification happens when a sinner, one who is not born again, comes to Jesus Christ and he cries out in faith to Jesus Christ as Savior. And the work of the Holy Ghost is done within a person. That person is justified and he is freed from blame or guilt. He is set free. He is righteous. When God looks at that person, he sees Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Sanctification is what happens after the fact. That is what happens when a person walks with the Lord. He grows in his relationship with the Lord. And now when things happen that would have made him angry, his response is more sanctified because of the work of the Holy Spirit within him. It's not something that he did. that he is able to achieve on his own. Absolutely not. Those kind of works, when we try to do our own, are just filthy rags. So we cannot purify ourselves. We cannot bring about the change and be pure like Jesus is. We are sinful. We are carnal. And as long as we think we can, we are yet carnal. The Bible talks about that. Being yet carnal. When we realize that I cannot bring about this change on my own, I need help from outside. And we give our lives to God. He comes alongside us and he aids us and he helps us. So let's be done with the rumhwat. So let's be done with the gadding about and trying to bring about our purification, our salvation. We cannot save ourselves. Let's focus on who the Father is, who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and who we are in Jesus Christ, and grow in that relationship with him. You know, when we get our what and why correct, we align ourselves with the will of God, with his perfect will. We come to the place where we achieve purity of purpose, where the things that we want are aligned with what God wants. We cannot expect that we're going to bend the will of God to align with what we want, but we must bend our will to align with the will of the Father if we want the change that we would like to see. And when we do that, we align ourselves, we agree with God. The Almighty God comes alongside us to protect us, to keep us, to guide us, and to aid us with his Holy Spirit, to lead us. He moves us along as we walk with him, as we choose him. That is being sanctified, a walk that is sanctified, decisions that are based on what the Holy Spirit says, not what the carnal man says. And he enables us, as his children, to walk through this sin-cursed earth, not removing the evil from us, but keeping us from the evil. The reason it looks so hopeless sometimes and we fail in the change we like to see is because of this carnality. Because we don't align ourselves with him. And therefore, we don't see the change we would like to see. Ultimately, his purpose is to carry us through and to take us home to be with him in glory. And I'd like to close with a scripture in 1 Corinthians 15. The last portion of that in verse 49 of 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The labor is only in vain when it's your carnal self that's laboring. But when your labor is in the Lord, when it's the Holy Spirit that is directing you and moving you, he is saying here that your labor is not going to be in vain. So when we think about change and new years, you know, sometimes change is new, it's exciting. You know, we're so glad, we're so looking forward to it. Other times, change is uncomfortable. It's scary. It's fearful. We don't know what to expect. Corrie ten Boom said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Somebody put that on Facebook, and I saw it. I really like that. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. So when that change that you may be facing in your life looks scary and uncomfortable, don't be afraid to trust that unknown future to a known God. Let's kneel to pray. Our loving Father, I just want to thank you for your blessing to us this morning, for speaking to us through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your work in our lives, for the new birth, for the work of regeneration, for being partakers of a divine nature as we come to you in faith, as we cry out to you. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to guide us, to keep us, and that no one is able to separate us from your love through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for being able to bring about the change in our lives that you want to see. And thank you, Lord, for being faithful and for being God, and that you are able to work in and through us. And I ask for special grace and blessing upon each one here, that you would give us courage, Lord, to be vessels that sanctified and open so that you could fill us and use us to your glory. Lord, help us to rebuke the spirit of fear and to move forward in the spirit of boldness and of faith and of courage. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and worth it. And I just commit this service, Father, this day into your hands. I pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. I'd like to open it up at this time. Is anyone here who would care to share a word of testimony? If anything that was said is not according to the word of God, please feel free to bring that out.